Matthew chapter 11. Beginning with verse 2. Matthew 11, verse 2. Now when John had heard in prison the works of the Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Father, we love you this morning. And we're so thankful for your love for each one of us. We're so thankful that you've not left us here to go through the motions or to strive on our own. You've sent the Holy Spirit, and how we sensed you here in a very real way today. And I would pray in these next few moments that you'd hide me behind your cross. I realize there's nothing that I could say that could change anybody's life. But if we would hear from you, if we would see Jesus lifted up, then our lives could be changed. And that's what we need. So hide me, Jesus. Speak through me. Let us see you and be changed because of it. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Now, as we come to Matthew chapter 11, we find that John the Baptist is in prison. We see that he's been in prison in a fortress called Machaerus. It's a fortress that's just east of the Dead Sea. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, you see that the fact is recorded that Herod had actually put John in prison. And if you go to Matthew chapter 14, you see the circumstances behind that imprisonment. See, if you've been in church any period of time, you've heard of John the Baptist. You know that John was a different kind of fellow. He lived different from the rest of the world. He lived out from the world, out in the wilderness. He dressed different. He ate different. He spoke differently. John was a different man. If he were here today, there's no doubt in my mind that he would stand out. No doubt at all. I think he's kind of like a burly fellow in my mind. I don't know. Maybe he even has body odor. I'm not for sure. But John was a different sort of guy. And John was the kind of guy that would just shoot straight. And we see that John had taken a stand against Herod. Herod was involved in a relationship with his sister-in-law. And this was wrong. And John knew it was wrong. And he looked Herod in the face and says, You know better than that. This is not... And Herod didn't like that. Well, how many of us do like it when we're corrected, when we're told we're doing something wrong? But we see that because of this, Herod puts John into prison. And we see that John was in prison during the time of Jesus' Galilean ministry. He's been at this time probably in prison for around a year. And he had heard about the works of Jesus. He had heard about the things that Jesus was doing. His teaching, his touching, the way that Jesus was going about his Father's business. He had heard all these things. But now somehow, as the year has passed, there's something that's burning down in him, something that he thought what once he knew the answer to. And now, after the year, he needs to know. So he sends two of his disciples. We read it. He sends them to ask Jesus a question. Listen to what he says. He says, ask Jesus if he's the one. Ask Jesus, are you the one? Or do we look for another? And when I first read that, I'm going to be real honest with you. I was tempted, in my holier-than-thou attitude, I was tempted to sit back and say, John, how could you say something like that? Of all the people in the Bible, how is it possible that you would question whether Jesus was the one that had been foretold, whether Jesus was the coming one? But you've got to remember, maybe you're tempted to do that this morning too, but remember, a year is a long time to sit in prison. A year is a long time to be alone with your thoughts. And as John sat there during that period of a year, I'm sure he remembered how God had moved in his life. I'm sure that he remembered how he had been the forerunner, how God had predestined him, how God had chosen him to do great things, to tell of the coming of the Lord. I'm sure that he remembered how it was to preach to the people, how he stood there on the banks of that river and he proclaimed the gospel. He proclaimed the baptism of repentance and how he preached the message
message that had burned down in his soul. He must have remembered what it was like to know that he was doing what God had called him to do. He must have remembered what it was like to stand there and proclaim the truth. How he put his heart, his faith, his all in that message. And he must have remembered over that year's period of time how the people responded. Now you've got to remember, as you look at John the Baptist, John isn't an itinerant evangelist. He didn't go from place to place to place, city to city to city. John stayed out there in the wilderness. John stayed there on the banks of the Jordan. And we read in the Bible, the Scriptures tells us that all the people of Jerusalem, all the people of Judea, they made their way to see him. And this was a journey. They had to put some effort into it. And he must have remembered what it was like to see the people's response as they came to hear that message. You remember this morning, there had been a 400-year silence. You remember the people had been praying. There hadn't been an authentic word of the Lord. And they had been praying, God, won't you rend the heavens and send down your Spirit? And now they came to see what God was doing. He must have remembered how the people submitted themselves to something that a good Jewish person would feel they didn't have any need of. A baptism of repentance. A changed life. You know this morning that repentance, it's as if you're walking in one direction and all of a sudden the truth is revealed. You're slapped in the face and you do a 180 and you begin to walk the other way. It's not only turning your way, it's a changing of your mind as well. A changing of thought. And we see that they submitted themselves. They wanted to see the Lord come. And they must have remembered what it was like to see the people's response. He must have remembered that day when he was standing there in the Jordan. He had preached that message and now the people began to respond. He must have remembered what it was like as he brought one up out of the water, as all of a sudden his heart leaped within as if he knew something was going to happen. As he surveyed that crowd and the crowd began to split and his eyes laid on Jesus and how he knew this is what he had waited for. He must have remembered what it was like to stand there in the Jordan and to point his dripping finger so all the crowd could see and proclaim in a loud, clear voice, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." He must have remembered how he knew at that moment that this was the promise. He must have remembered how it was to know at that time this was the one the prophets had foretold. He must have remembered what it was like to watch as Jesus, the Lamb, walk out into the Jordan where John was. Could it be that Jesus was going to submit himself to this baptism? Could it be that the greater was going to be baptized by the less? Now you understand this morning, Jesus didn't have anything to be repentant of. You understand this morning, Jesus didn't need to be baptized. But I want you to see this. We watch as Jesus steps into the stream of humanity. Isn't that just like Jesus, always doing what he doesn't need to do for his sake? But he does it for ours. We watch him as he walks out there in the river. There's a conversation that goes on. And we see that John says, "No, I can't. It should be the other way around." But Jesus says, "This is the way it needs to be." He must have remembered what it was like to lower the Lamb of God down into the muddy waters of the Jordan. He must have remembered what it was like to lift him out. And as he came out, dripping with the water, as the heavens were split open, and a dove descended, and a voice from heaven said, that "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." He must have remembered what it was like to know that Jesus was the one. He must have remembered how he had the assurance. But a year is a long time to sit in prison. A year is a long time to be alone with your thoughts. And you've got to remember that John was he was the forerunner, yes, but he was human just like you and me. And he had preached about the judgment of God. He had preached about the justice, how wrongs would be righted, and how good would prevail. And yet he found himself. See, he heard what Jesus was doing. He heard about what he was teaching. How he was touching, but where was the justice? Where was the wrath? It wasn't adding up in his mind. It wasn't turning out the way he thought it would. So he sends two of his disciples to ask the question, "Are you the one? Or do we look for another?" John's disciples, they loved him.
They wanted to do whatever they could to bring John some assurance, to bring John some comfort. So we watch them as they leave that fortress. They run. I believe they ran with all their might to the surrounding city where Jesus was. And when they got there, they didn't have to ask where he was, folks. You understand this? All they had to do was look for the crowd. Have you ever noticed how Jesus always attracts a crowd? Hey, look around you. Not a place to sit. Oh, back in you up, not a place. Jesus attracts a crowd. If we'll lift up Jesus, the world will be drawn to him. They didn't have to ask where he was. They just went to where the crowd was. And when they got there, bending over, trying to catch their breath, they knew they were in the right place because they heard his voice. As they wiped the sweat from their eyes, they began to focus in, and there he was. It was Jesus. And just as if heaven orchestrated itself, all of a sudden, there was a silence that fell across that crowd. And the disciples, they're going to seize the opportunity. They're going to take the chance. They're going to ask the question. They break the silence. They say, hey, Jesus, John sent us to ask you a question. Hey, Jesus, John wants to know, are you the one? I believe there was a holy hush that fell across that place. You realize John had asked from prison the question that everybody in that crowd wanted to know the answer to. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think Jesus was taken back by the question. I don't think he was bothered. I don't think he was frustrated, irritated, or anything. I believe he wanted to give the assurance. Are you the one, or should we look for another? We watch as Jesus, I believe in my mind, walks down to where these disciples are. My mind began. I'm going to let you in on my mind. It's a scary thing, but I'm going to, okay? Walk down to where they were. Put his arms around him. Begins to answer. Listen to what he says. Go and show John. Go and tell John the things which ye do hear. Go and tell John the things which you hear. See, they had been there, folks. They had been there. They had heard the words that Jesus was saying. They had heard him before, I'm sure. You go and tell John the things that you hear. But he doesn't stop there. He says, go and tell John the things that you see. Understand. Now you really got to look at this. Look at the tense here. Then he doesn't say, go and tell John the things that you have heard or the things that you have seen. It's not past. It's present. Could it be that day in that crowd, as Jesus began to respond to the disciples, that there were two men standing there? Two men that just a few days before had followed Jesus into a house. Oh, they were without hope. See, these men, they had been blind since who knows how long. They had never looked into the face of Jesus. They may have never seen the color of the sky or the color of the dirt. And they followed Jesus into that house that day. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, I want to see. And Jesus said, well, do you believe I can do it? That's what he said, right? Do you believe I can do it? We believe. And then the veil of darkness was lifted. Could it be that those men, as that conversation was going on, they were looking at Jesus. They were looking at the disciples so intently. They were taking it all in. And Jesus says to them, you go tell John the things that you hear. Yes, but you go and tell John the things that you see. Tell him the blind receive their sight. And as that's going on, there's a little commotion that's happening over in here. You look over and there's a group of people. They're up on their feet. It's probably what we call the charismatic crowd. I think they fit in right around in here. But anyway, they're standing over here. It makes some people nervous, but they're up jumping around. They're running. They're not quiet. And Jesus can see that the disciples are taking, they're wondering what's going on. And so he begins to say, oh, don't worry about that crowd over there. Don't worry. Do you see the one who's bobbing above the rest of the crowd? That head that keeps appearing, the one that's jumping up and down? Oh, you ought to hear the story of this guy. You see, just about a month or so ago, he was laying on a mat. He couldn't walk. All the things that he takes for granted, all the things, you know, he couldn't feed himself. He couldn't give himself a drink. He couldn't take a bath. He couldn't come to church. All those things you take for granted, this man couldn't do because he was paralyzed. If it happened, someone took him there. If he ate, someone fed him. But the other day, his friends brought him to me. So I gave him his life back.
Now when he's in my presence, he's got to jump. He's got to run. He doesn't care who's around. You go tell John the things that you hear. But you tell John the things that you see as well. Tell him the blind receive their sight. Tell him the lame, they're up, they're dancing, they're running around. You tell him that. And as this is going on, all of a sudden a guy walks up to you. He sticks his hand out. You think, well, a handshake's all right. And so you go to shake his hand, but before you know it, he's pulled you right in. He's giving you a big old bear hug. And that makes you a little bit uncomfortable because you're an evangelist, you know. But anyway, he gives him that hug. And Jesus can tell that you're a little taken back by it all. He's saying things like, oh, so glad you came here today. So glad you're here, brother. He hugged them both. And Jesus said, don't worry about him. He's our greeter. See, you've got to understand something about this man. Just about, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, this man was living out in the leper colony. This man hadn't had human contact in who knows how long. This man couldn't come in society. But one day he broke all the rules, man. He came right to where he was. He fell on his knees before me. He said, you can make me whole. So I made him whole. Now he's got to hug you. Now he's got to shake your hand. Now he's got to know. You tell John the things that you hear, but you tell him the things that you see with your own eyes. Tell him the blind receive their sight. Tell him they're laying, they're up, they're dancing, they're running, they're walking around. You tell him lepers are living here amongst the people. Tell him these things. And then there's this little group of ladies. It's little old ladies in my mind for some reason. They're standing right over here. They're listening to everything that's going on. And you think, who's this? Is this the gossip chain? I mean, the prayer chain? Is this the... is this the town gossip? What are they doing? And the funny thing about Jesus is you can't think something without him knowing it. And he says, oh no, you've got these gals all wrong. You got these ladies. You see these ladies here a while back? They never heard a bird chirp. A while back, they never heard anybody's voice. They couldn't sing. They couldn't enjoy nature. But the other day, I unstopped their ears. And now, they take it all in. Now they listen so intently. You go tell John the things that you hear, but you tell him the things that you see with your own eyes. Tell him the blind can see. Tell him the lame can walk. Tell him that the lepers are living amongst the people. Tell him that the deaf can hear. And while he's saying that, this little girl runs up and just grabs Jesus and hugs him. And you're tempted to push her back away. And he knows it. He says, oh, no. This girl's just enjoying life. She's enjoying life because a while back she lost it. They're not getting this, Brian. She lost it. Her heart has stopped. I gave her life. Tell John. Tell him the things that you hear, yes, but tell him the things that you see with your own eyes. Tell him the blind receive their sight. Tell him that the lame, they're up dancing, they're running around. Tell him the lepers are living amongst the people. Tell him the deaf can hear. Tell him the dead are walking. Tell him the gospel's being preached to the poor. We watch him as the disciples, they have the answer. Their heart is stirring. They're overflowing. They turn on their feet. They begin to run back to where that fortress is. And as they approach, John, he'd been there all this time. He had been peering through those prison bars. He had been watching on the horizon, waiting to see them come. And all of a sudden, the horizon's broken by two silhouettes, and they're running with all their might. We watch them as they run into where that prison cell was. They get in there. They're out of breath. But John can't wait for the answer. He's saying, well, tell me, what did he say? Tell me, what was his answer? And as they catch their breath, as they wipe the sweat from their forehead, one of them begins to say, oh, John, I wish you could have been there. Oh, John, I wish you could have seen. It doesn't make sense, John. Everything's upside down. It's not adding up. Oh, John, you should have seen it. John, a blind man looked me in the eye. John, there were lame people dancing, running around. John, there were lepers. A leper shook my hand. You should have been there. Oh, a little dead girl. She was living. Oh, John, you should have been there. John, oh, John. He's the one. He's the one. And we watch as John received the answer that he had been waiting so long for. Folded his arms. Leaned back against that prison cell. Repeated to himself the last few days of his life. He's the one. He's the one. Maybe you're here this morning. And you find yourself in a prison. A prison of your mind. Maybe things haven't turned out exactly the way you thought they would have turned out. Maybe things aren't adding up. Maybe you've been looking for answers everywhere. Maybe you've been trying to fulfill yourself in other ways. I want you to know this morning that He's the one that you're looking for. He's the one. He's the answer to all your questions. He's the one that can meet all your needs. He's the one today that can open spiritually blinded eyes. He's the one that can lift the darkness and cause you to walk in light. He's the one, the only one, that can save a sin-sick soul. If you're here today and you're lost without God, if you're not His child, well, wait a minute, Billy. We're all God's children. No, we're not. That's a lie from the pit of hell. If you buy into the popular vernacular, you might be tempted to believe that. But let me say to you, unless you've knelt at the foot of Calvary, unless the blood has been applied, you are not God's child. You're His creation, and the invitation is there for you to become. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, that's me, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Scriptures tells us that all you have to do to be saved is call upon the name of the Lord and believe. If you're not a child of God, He's the one that can save your soul. He can take a blackened heart, apply red blood, and make it come out as white as snow. You ought to get saved this morning. He's calling, become one of His children. He's the one this morning that can put a family back together again. Oh, you've tried, haven't you? You've read the books. You've listened to the counselors. You're the one. You've gone to your pastor, and that's all good. But I'm telling you this morning, when everything else fails, call out to Jesus. Cry out to Him, because He's the one that can put a family back together. He's the one that can heal a broken body. Oh, the doctor says there is no way. Oh, the doctor says there is no hope, but He's the one that can reach out. He is the great physician. He can reach down. He can stop cancer in its tracks. He can heal a broken body. He's the only one that can do that. He's the one today that can mend a broken heart. It doesn't make sense why life has turned out this way. My heart is shattered in a million pieces. Well, He's the one that can reach down and put it all back together again. He is the one that can mend a broken heart. He's the one that can bring beauty out of ashes. He's the one that can bring victory over your addictions. He's the one that can break the chains of sin. We sang about it today. Glorious freedom. Wonderful freedom. He can bring that to you today. He's the one that can make a way where there is no way. He's the one that can give you a sense of life's fulfillment. He's the one that can make worth life worth living. He is the one. He's the one. End the search. Amen. End it. We have the report. John sends two of his disciples. Ask him, is he the one, or do we look for another? They go, Jesus, tell them the things that you hear with your own ears. But tell them the things that you see with your own eyes. We've seen some things this morning, haven't we? The blind can see. The lame can walk. The lepers are healed. The deaf can hear. The dead are living. We have the report. Beyond all that, look around you. If you've been here today, you've heard it over and over and over and over.